Anything Combat with Johnny K.
But it's Anything Combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants to the Anything Combat show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today on the show, we have MMA coach, pro fighter, social media personality, Samir Aliyev. Welcome to the show, Samir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity.
Samir, let me know, where did you first originate from? From your culture, from your identity, and your nation?
I am Azerbaijani originally, but the most of my life I live in Moldova, because my mom is from Moldova, but my father is from Azerbaijan.
Did you do more training in Moldova or Azerbaijan?
Moldova. Life, whole life I train in Moldova. My father is the former wrestler, sambo wrestler. And he helped me to become better in this kind of sports.
Did he push you into MMA?
No. This is my decision, my own decision. Yesterday I had a speech and I talked about it to people that this was my decision, because in MMA we have much freedom, more freedom than in wrestling, because wrestling has a lot of restrictions, rules. You can't punch your opponent, you can't submit him, but in MMA you can do everything, and that's why I love this game. I practice it since 2011 till nowadays.
Samir, are you retired from fighting professionally, or do you want to go back into fighting?
No, I retired 5 years ago. I had my fight. And due to some problems in my life, troubles, I chose a new way of coach. I think it's God's will.
If you believe it to be God's will, what do you think your purpose is now that you're a coach? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to show to my students a proper way without mistakes, because I didn't have coaches since I started train MMA. The first mixed martial arts was combat sambo. There I had a very good coach, but my team, I had some problems with my team, because I started my professional career, my first bout, and they didn't pay me. So I decided to go away from this gym, and I didn't trust anyone. I started my own path, combining the work of coach to make some money and to be a fighter. And it was a very good first 3 years. I was the number one ranked professional fighter in Moldova. But after injury, after my shoulder injury, I fell. I couldn't recover my level, my previous level of fighter's level. So now I am a coach with a lot of mistakes, but because due to due to these troubles, exploring everything by myself without coaches. I created my own path and my own vision with a lot of techniques that you can't see in other gyms. In fights and etc. This is my own style.
And how do you think that you developed that style? You had the combat sambo experience, you've had the MMA experience. Of course, you know, you've done a lot of freestyle wrestling. Is there any component of your game where you focused a lot on judo? Because I know that combat sambo, you tend to do a lot of judo throws in general, but I'm asking you from specifically judo perspective, did you specialize in that at any point?
Yes, of course. I drilled a lot of techniques from judo when I started to train in combat sambo, but I had a different base, wrestling freestyle, and it's hard to change your strategy when you grew up using this style, like wrestling. This is a very good base. Now I completed this game at all. Now my wrestling continues with relentless pressure control, like we can see in fights. Of Khabib's fights, Khamzat's fights, and similar fighters who use this strategy.
Why do you think that there's been such a difficulty with MMA grappling now that the sport has evolved and we're seeing fighters like Chimaev and Makhachev and Khabib utilizing their MMA grappling systems with ground and pound and submissions and transitions? Why do you feel that people are struggling with their MMA grappling system? Why isn't it taught correctly?
First of all, the main mistake is when you throw your opponent on the ground. You don't need to leave any centimeter of space, but they allow to their opponents to create space. When you leave space, you don't control it. So, obviously, your opponent will counter you, will find some keys to neutralize your game. You have to work to press your opponent tight, and we don't need to engage in direct resistance. This is the one of the main, the most repeated mistakes, because that way, you spend a lot of energy, but you need to be smart, to be a step ahead. This way you put your opponent in situation when he has to work without stop. And if you control everything, your opponent don't find keys to counter you, he gets tired. That's why we see Khamzat's, Islam's, Khabib's opponents, they all are very tired and psychology broken, mentally broken.
I think that for the grappling styles right now, Marab Dvalishvili, he says, he quotes, that judo was a really big influence on his style And for the other guys, like your Hamzat and your Khabib, where it's a lot of freestyle wrestling with the double legs shooting, one grappling art that I feel like hasn't been talked about is the Greco-Roman wrestling with the body trips and the body locks. We've seen, you know, Kazakhstani fighter Shavkat Rakhmonov, he uses that very well. It shows that if he's, you know, an undefeated fighter, you can utilize those types of Greco positions within MMA by utilizing the knees also. So I just feel like more people should kind of utilize Greco-Roman, and it's not really talked about. Another fighter that I've seen doing it very well is the Swedish gentleman, Gustafsson, the new guy at welterweight. So I do see a situation where Greco is underutilized right now.
MMA is evolving and updating every day. I think we all the community, fighters, coaches, we've just started to find the proper ways, because this kind of sports is very young. And I think Greco-Roman throws, transitions, body locks are underestimated. Recent, I started to teach it to my students to use it, and I see how good is this. For example, if you catch your opponent in a body lock, you obviously control him better. Look at Hamzat's transitions. He shoots. This is a very good strategy. Pay attention. He shoots always in opponent's legs, but then immediately he transitions to body lock. Because it's harder to react when you shoot for a double leg, but it's much better when you transition then to the body lock. But we need to to consider that fact. If you shoot like Hamzat, you need to have length of limbs that allows you to do it. Because, for example, if you are a shorter fighter with short arms, that's not good strategy. But you can do it when you press your opponent into the cage, and you can transition, considering that when you got body lock, your arms are busy. You have to engage in the game your legs to work with whole your body. And again, we're backing to control, chain wrestling, and dominant control.
Samir, what do you remember from your first ever fight that you had, either Sambo, MMA, whatever the first competition was? What was that, and what do you remember from it?
For example, my combat Sambo, the first my combat Sambo fight, not was so different, because I came up from freestyle wrestling, and in the first fight I just throwed my opponent, and due to difference in score, I won that fight earlier. But in MMA, that was different, because the first time I fought in the ring, I couldn't use my striking, even I prepared it, because this was a very different emotions. Starting from my entrance, when I the first time came up in the ring with music, and a lot of people were watching my fight. There was a little bit different. They were a little bit different emotions.
Did you become a master of combat sambo, or did you just have sambo fights?
Yes, of course. After 2 years practicing, I got a bronze medal on European Championship, and for this I achieved a master of sports in combat sambo. And interesting thing, Khabib Nurmagomedov was 2-0 in two wins, no losses in UFC, and he was a guest. He came there with his students from Dagestan. It was very interesting experience. I have a photo with Khabib. I was younger and he also.
Samir, can you tell me, with the combat sambo, in terms of difficulty competing in grappling, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and fighting in MMA, where does combat sambo rank compared to all the sports?
It's hard to compare. I can make my rankings. The first hardest ever kind of sport is wrestling, freestyle wrestling, Olympic sports. It's very hard. The second, MMA, because 3 5-minute rounds, it's very hard to mix up a lot of martial arts like striking, wrestling. You get tired. I always had problems in the third round. I couldn't be like Merab, for example. The third place is close to MMA, will be combat sambo. I think you don't know about the rule. In combat sambo, this federation allows you to shoot your opponent with your head. Did you know about this?
I've seen it. I've seen a lot of the Russian guys where they grab the gi and they hold both you know, panels of the gi, and they drop their head straight into the person's face. I've seen it.
Yes, yes. I've seen a knockout here in Moldova, and we had two different federations of combat sambo, and in our federation of combat sambo, we fought like professionals, without
no headgear.
Yes, without gear. Yes, okay. Yes. And one guy, my familiar, he shoot his opponent and sent him in a knockdown. Then made a suplex. One of the hardest game I've ever seen.
Samir, with Moldovan combat sports and combat sambo, I'll just firstly ask you two questions. The first one is, I'll ask you if you saw the fight back in the day, Moldovan combat sports with Ion Kutelaba, when he fought Azamat Mirzakhanov. Did you see this fight where Azamat Mirzakhanov put a crazy crazy beatdown on Ion. Did you see that?
Yes. It was in a major fight, hand to hand, Russian hand to hand.
Was it Sambo?
Yes. No. This is hand to hand combat. It's the name of martial arts, Russian martial arts, Rukopashny boy. They say like this. Yes, I've seen it. It was crazy. It was crazy because Azamat wasn't that time a UFC fighter, but Ion was.
Seeing that you didn't see it, I want to ask you about the Moldovan fighting scene, seeing that, you know, there's a lot of combat sambo guys coming up, as well as the fact that you told me about that particular rule set that fight took place with Kutelaba and Mirzakhanov. So with the Moldovan combat sports, do you think with these competitions that we're going to see more guys come out of this country and go into the UFC? Because so far, I know of you being Moldovan, I know of Ion Kutelaba, but there isn't that much volume of Moldovan talent.
We have also Sergei Spivak and Alexander Romanov, who fights in PFL. They are two good fighters, top fighters, like Ion Kutelaba. I think in future we will show a lot of talents, especially in the lightweight categories. We have.
You believe specifically, you know, lightweight, welterweight around there, you think more guys are going to come in?
Yes. Bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight. These three categories. You know, it's harder because in this categories are a lot of fighters, a lot of technical, strong, resistant fighters. But I see how I noticed we have a few guys. We need to work on it to show how talented and hard workers are Moldovan fighters.
Samir, do you think that you were a better coach than fighter?
Of course, I'm the better coach, but I think if I would have a coach when I was young, since 20 years, I practice it alone by myself. I think I have every physical and mental, technical arsenal to become a very good fighter. But like I said, that's God's will, and my path is to be coach, to motivate younger people, to lead, to show him how you need to achieve your goal properly, how to include your discipline in your life, as you drink water, as you sleep, as you eat. The same way you have to train if you want results. That's why we see a lot of Dagestani fighters, because they don't do everything else.
You have mentioned your lack of coaching, that you didn't have sparring partners and you didn't have coaches to help you. So now that you're in a position to help the new generation and be their coach that you did not have, how does that make you feel?
That's my destiny. I feel like this. And I don't know if in English I can say it and it will be correct, but who if not me? In Russia, we say, in Russian, we say like this, кто если не мы, кто если не я? I think you got it. First of all, if you want to change something, you have to start from your own self. And then you engage other people who can gain your results, because everything depends on just from one single from a single person. It will be hard. You have to create a system like Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov. This is my favorite coach. He created a very good system with lack of opportunities. They didn't have simple things in their gym, like warm water. And I wanna to I can't repeat it, obviously. This is number one coach, but this is an example for me.
Seeing that you didn't have that many coaches, the coaches that you did have that taught you a lot, which ones do you think had the biggest impact on the journey?
A few coaches. Wrestling coaches, I had five persons who helped me, and I will never forget them. In combat sambo, I had one very good coach. I'm thankful to, and in grappling, I practiced about a year grappling during I practiced combat sambo. It was additional trainings. So I have, and my father always he supported me. He showed me a lot of interesting techniques. Unfortunately, he is not a fighter. He wasn't an MMA fighter, but everything connected with wrestling, he helped me, and I am so thankful.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Samir, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks you can say to everybody listening at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me. This is my first podcast, and I'm glad to spend my time like this. I think in future we will repeat. I'm available for it.
Follow Coach Samir on Instagram. Links will be in the description. And follow Anything Combat. We will see you all next time.
I recommend it. Follow.
Become a combatant.